Blog Talk Radio.
This is a program for all America.
Indeed, welcome aboard. It is the Amy Beth Arkwe Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the art, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. Hope you had a great weekend. It's a gorgeous Monday here in the Northeast. So you got to get yourself in a good mood that way. Congress left town last week, so they'll get about as much done as they got done this week as they got done last week, and the week before that, and yeah, the week before that. Did you know it was mandated? I didn't realize this. The Congress actually in 1970 put a legislation in place that mandated a 5-week vacation in August for Congress. They don't get a reduction in their salary, they just get a full-paid vacation along with all their bennies and everything else. I gotta get me one of those gigs. Gotta run. And the number's up and running, 347-857-4505. If you'd like to get into the Monday Coffee Clatch or Free Flow Pop Culture Convo, today we're playing America's new favorite pastime, the blame game. Have you noticed anybody shifts blame to somebody else? Speaking of America's old pastime, baseball, I think as we speak, any minute now, Alex Rodriguez's suspension will be announced. Apparently the lifetime ban is off the table. I think they said the preview it'll be 214-game suspension. That's what's predicted, which means he'll miss all of next season, although he will appeal, so he will show up in pinstripes tomorrow. Very defiant A-Rod was last week at a presser, where he pretty much said the only people who will be hurt by his suspension or his ban from baseball would be the Yankee fans. Yeah, he's not taking responsibility for his involvement in the new Biogenesis scandal. Apparently taking human growth hormone. He's done this before, so, you know, whatever is all said and done with his career in asterisks will be over it, like so many of those people in the 90s, the big heroes, McGuire and Sosa. I mean, it really it put the blemish on this sport, and what is crushing is how heartbreaking it is for the kids who idolize these players. They interviewed some of these young players, little leaguers, who really still have the same spirit of the game that we all grew up with back in the day, that is about doing your best. And it is winning. Partly it's winning, but it's winning legitimately, not cheating. And these little kids said, yeah, if he cheated, he should be booted out of the game. I thought that was just so touching and so sweet. So kids get it right. The grown-ups, not so much some of the time. So we'll talk about that. We've got Anthony Weiner and Filner out in San Diego. They're sticking with their race and with their gigs, despite people wanting them to get out because, hey, it's not really their fault. Filner needs treatment. Anthony Weiner got treatment. It didn't apparently work. But, you know, it's nobody's business. Come on, people. He didn't do anything to you, New Yorkers. It was between him, he and his wife, and his good friends, who he happened to tweet his entire package to, plus some sexy tweets. He thought he was doing it with friends, and they didn't do him a solid by deleting the whole thing. Go figure. And now, of course, we have that crass couple from the Real Housewives of New Jersey, Teresa and Joe Giudice, I guess they pronounce it, which, by the way, I think means justice in Italian. Interesting. They are now still living a high life, but are confined to New York and New Jersey. They didn't even let them go to Connecticut. They had to turn in their passports under a 39-count federal indictment for everything from tax fraud to mortgage fraud, bankruptcy fraud, tax evasion. You name it, the feds are trying to throw the book at them. This is serious stuff. They could do anywhere from 20 to 50 years in the slam apiece should they be convicted. Now, I'm not thinking they're going to get that much time, nor should they, but they're blaming fame now through their lawyer. They say it's because they're famous that they were targeted. Now, there may be some truth to that, but if you're not, you know, if you do the right thing, it doesn't matter if they're investigating you. You shouldn't be convicted. So we'll find out more about that as we bring in our guest. I think Wendy Feldman is here with us. She is known as the Fixer, the prison coach, who tells it like it really is because she's been, you know, she's been there, done that, and she's pretty honest with folks as a noted prison coach. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good, Wendy. How are you? Hey, happy birthday, by the way, belatedly. I just read on your blog it was your birthday this weekend.
It was.
And you talk honestly.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You talk honestly about your own experience. You were a Wall Street professional. You got wrapped up in a financial scandal yourself, and you did some time from federal time, 16 months in a federal prison camp. You're honest about it. You've owned up to it. You've come out the other side, and now you help people cope with what's ahead of them in terms of the legal process and possible prison time and then reentry. And you talk real. And it's interesting, in your blog, I was going to ask you if you had been watching or reading Orange is the New Black, which is the new Netflix series based on Piper Kerman's, or loosely based, they say, on Piper Kerman's memoir about her time in federal prison. And you mentioned in your blog that you have been watching it. How close to that experience is the show? the real thing.
Well, I mean, the show, Piper Show, it is a very fictionalized experience, obviously, of prison life. Although there are aspects of it that are really quite real, the show itself is pure fiction. And Piper's memoir is her true story.
Yeah. And that may be loosely based on her life, too, as especially the confrontation with the future in-laws. But we'll let Piper talk about that.
All of that is probably true, but the actual prison interaction is somewhat true, and there are moments of it that are true. But it's a great, as I write on my blog, it's a great icebreaker lately because everybody's watching it, and that can only lead to good things because it starts a discussion.
Absolutely. Well, I haven't seen the show yet. I did read the memoir. I'm looking forward to seeing the show. And you're right. I think people are fascinated because prison is always sort of this mysterious place. But the truth is a lot of people, and this is not a good thing, I don't think, more and more Americans are incarcerated than ever before. And very often they're incarcerated for relatively minor crimes, financial crimes, drug crimes, nonviolent crimes. And you have to wonder, and for very long times in some cases, are you really serving not only the individual but society by locking away all these people? I mean, when you put this as a social or cultural snapshot side by side with what happened, what we saw last week in that Ohio courtroom, that display of psychopathology with Ariel Castro and his 16 rambling minutes of trying to defend his kidnapping and raping of those women. Those are the people that need to be locked away and the key thrown away, not these people who were committing these relatively minor crimes. So we have to really relook at what we're doing in terms of the justice system. I really do believe that. But having said that, unfortunately, people are facing it, and that's why your business, I guess, is thriving, unfortunately, because you do have to deal with a lot of people who may have to find themselves in that position.
Right. I mean, you know, our incarceration rate in the United States is up 500% in the past 10 years. That's astounding. And the majority of people are in jail for drug crimes, hands-down drug crimes, and we know that putting people in jail for drug crimes does not work. And so, yes, luckily my business is thriving for two reasons. One, it's a great business, but two, I get the opportunity to help people find a different way and help judges find a different way to handle people. And that's the bigger picture, is how are we going to really help people so that we as a society aren't paying for them and individuals aren't, you know, stuck paying for it. They actually can learn something and change their lives, because I'm not saying that people don't deserve to be rehabilitated, but they may not deserve to be punished and rehabilitated.
I agree with you. But also now they have rolled back at least some of the mandatory minimums. Is that right? In the federal level, I know in New York they used up on it.
No, not really. They're saying for crack offenders they are. But no, mandatory minimums in the federal system on drugs still exist. And I have so many women in their 50s and 60s who are caught up in drugs in one way or another, and they get 10-year mandatory minimums. 10 years, that's astounding.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. I mean, that really is.
And you know what? That's a very expensive lesson for them, for their families, and for us as taxpayers. So that's got to change. So one of the great things about Piper's show and her book is it brings attention to people's stories and that there's a backstory behind everybody. Now, the people who are severely mentally ill or who have done extraordinarily violent crimes, that's a different demographic than either Piper's show or my clientele. But we need to address them also.
Oh, sure. Well, the mental illness component, unfortunately, is a very real one, too, because a lot of people got rolled into the prison system who were previously in the mental health system once they closed down a lot of mental hospitals. So there's a lot of these things that are all intertwined. And it's coming back to sort of bite us right now. But let's talk a little bit, you know, on a lighter note. Well, I don't know if it's lighter, but, I mean, The Real Housewives of New Jersey, this is how I reached out to you because I thought Teresa should reach out to you. I don't know if she got the tweet. If she's planning on doing that anytime soon.
She's
probably
Teresa.
Still in deep dish. You do?
I know Teresa, but in any event, not because of this.
Oh, okay. So what have you talked to her since this indictment came down?
I have not.
Had not, okay. Do you think you will?
And I won't be. Yeah, I have not talked to her, and I won't be.
You think she's in deep dish denial over what is going on? Because obviously this is a long process. They're probably going to try to, I mean, they're still stalling on Joe's license fraud charge, which was supposed to go to trial last month, and somehow it's been delayed yet again. So do they just think they're going to play the stall game, and how long can they actually realistically stall this out?
Well, Joe's issues are state issues. They're relatively minor. This issue is, that we just saw the indictment on, is a federal issue, and it is major. It's major because, like you said, you know, it's everything in the kitchen sink, except racketeering and conspiracy, which I believe they will be charged with, and they will be charged with that next. And sadly, it has some charges that are way too old to be to have been charged. But most importantly, it has some charges that I predicted and I spoke with her about years ago, which is the bankruptcy fraud. And in the United States, we do not play games with bankruptcy anymore, and they did. And, you know, in some ways, they asked for this. And I can tell you...
Well, it's interesting. What I thought was interesting, sorry to interrupt you, is just that if what is alleged happened, it sounds like what they did with the mortgage fraud on the front end, which maybe those are what you're saying might be too old, I don't know. But when they lied about, they ginned up some fake income that they supposedly had at the time, or Teresa supposedly worked at some company, which I don't sure if existed or not, but she didn't make that money. They made up some phony W-2 forms. I'm not even sure how you do that. Get the mortgages for that ostentatious mansion and the cars and everything else, and they got further loans. And then once they finally started making money for their bad behavior on the TV show, then they hid the money and then declared a fake bankruptcy. So maybe they thought in their logic that it all evened out because we lied up front, so then we could lie. I mean, I don't get it. Do you get it? I don't understand what they were thinking.
This is the thing, and this is why I wouldn't work with her. She'd be a disaster client, because if it was my client, I'd say no more show, no more interviews, no more selling things to the press. Shut up. And that's what normally I will tell my celebrity clients, and they'll listen. She would never listen. But you're 100% right. The Achilles heel here was showing the bankruptcy proceeding and making a mockery of it on national television, and the feds don't like it, nor is it legal, and nor is it proper. And I remember watching the show 2 years ago when they had a meeting with their lawyer talking about the bankruptcy, and I said to my kids, I said, this is going to blow up because you can't make fun out of the system and then live large, and they did it. And so, you know, whatever comes their way, they now actually have opened the door, and in my opinion, they deserve it.
Wow. But they won't get
pretty harsh,
the kind of time.
Somebody I know, yeah.
The kind of time they're talking about, 20 to 50 years, I mean, that's serious time for anybody.
Well, that's because you take each charge individually, and then you instead of being, you know, all together the years, they run them consecutively. Are they looking at that much time? Well, they're probably looking at 10-plus on a realistic level.
Now, do you think both of them will do time, or do you think Joe will fall on the sword and Teresa will pull what I call the Jeanine Pirro, if you remember Jeanine Pirro, who now has a Fox TV news show, back when she was DA of Westchester County, and a former judge. Her husband went to prison for tax evasion or tax fraud. Even though she signed the forms, I'm not sure how she got out of it. At that point, she still managed to plead dumb wife, I didn't know what I was signing, and she got off with it. So if she could, if she's a lawyer and a former DA and or current DA at the time, and a former judge can pull that, I wonder if Teresa could say, well, I didn't know what it, you know, I didn't know what I was signing.
Well,
you think
she
can pull
actually,
that off?
The two cases are not comparable. Judge Pirro's case, it really was an innocent spouse case. This case is, by the evidence alone of the television show, not innocent spouse, because Teresa's on the show talking about it. So, therefore, that's not going to work. So what will happen is Teresa will have no choice but to testify against Joe. But that doesn't even really matter so much in the federal system because they've got both of them. So it just depends how they want to treat it. One testifying against the other, you do have the marriage provision. You don't have to testify against the other, but there's really no way out of it. Additionally, Teresa can't say, well, I didn't know certain things, because she did know she filed bankruptcy, and she did know that she lived too large a life, and that's her shtick on the show.
Right. But when she did say on the show or one of the reunion shows, she said that Joe, she didn't realize how bad it was when Joe came to her, and that's how they had to wind up declaring bankruptcy. It was funny how they immediately, though, after they tried to get out of it, because I think they knew it was looming before the charges actually came down, because they did have to, they paid, all of a sudden they started paying up their debt, so there was money somewhere where they got the money, so they were obviously hiding money, which I guess also kind of proves there was some fraud.
Money laundering is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, money laundering.
Now you're threatening us with charges. Now we have the money. We'll pay for it. Yeah, that's not a good. It doesn't look good. But I guess it also depends what the feds can prove, and also what they're willing to deal. Do you think they want to make a plea deal, or are they going to try to run out the clock and just sort of drag it on? I mean, what is the strategy? Do you think with the lawyers, what they're going to try to do for them?
with the feds, they are always looking to make a deal, and lawyers are usually looking to make a deal. However, a deal would mean jail time no matter what. With Teresa, she may be able to claim that with the early stuff, the original mortgage fraud and all of that, that she didn't know. I think she can claim that, and she'll be fine with that. She's also not charged with not filing tax forms, and Joe is. So that's not her problem. Her problem is the bankruptcy fraud and the money laundering. That's her problem. He's going to jail for many, many, many years. There's going to be no way around that.
I don't know how she could not know about the mortgage fraud if they ginned up W-2 forms for her based on income, unless she's going to say, I didn't know that he was doing that. I guess that's possible.
She'll say that. And those are old, but Amy, those are old charges. So those are not what they're looking to make stick. The feds are looking to make stick is how can you file federal bankruptcy, not reorganization, but liquidation, and still live like that, and then go on television and make light out of it. And what's worse is since the charges came down, they are continuing to make light out of it. Instead of dumbing down and shutting up, if they were my clients, that's what they'd be doing. They're continuing to talk about it and continuing to sell photos to – I deal with a lot of media in California. They're continuing daily to sell stories to the different media outlets about their lifestyle. You can't do that. You know who's going to be witness in the case? All of the media outlets are going to be called. Bravo's going to be called. Bravo could be a co-conspirator. They better watch what they put on the air and what they approved.
It's very interesting to what do you think Bravo will do. I was just going to ask you that about next season. Do you think they're going to film it? I mean, it would be fascinating to watch all these proceedings, but do you think it would be better for them to just drop the whole show and just say, the heck with it? We don't want to get too deep. They had some backlash after that guy committed suicide on one of the other Housewives shows.
Yeah. Bravo would only be allowed in a federal case to show them talking about the case and would be able to show no court scenes because you cannot bring cameras into a federal court, so that would not be allowed. If I was representing Bravo, I would tell them stay away from it because anything you do and anything that you enable and anything you pay for that doesn't go straight to a bankruptcy trustee makes Bravo a party and a potential co-conspirator.
I mean, just as you said before, their flagrant attitude of talking about it, even Joe on his state charges, which I guess are penny ante compared to these, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, you know, his discussion about it is, they can indict a ham sandwich. I mean, to me, I'm like, if you're under that, I've never been in accused of a crime, but if you're under indictment, whether you think you're innocent or not, or guilty or not, I don't think you'd want to be flaunting on TV, the heck with the DA, they can't prove it. I mean, who makes comments like that? I mean, you must, as you said, it would be a nightmare client. You'd have to really sit on these people.
You're looking at some very severe issues here. One, tremendous denial. Two, there must be substance abuse with Joe because he now is on what we call federal pretrial, and he has drug and alcohol testing. Teresa does not as a condition of her pretrial. So Joe obviously has a problem. She apparently
does not.
Well,
that's because of the drunk driving, I guess, because he had the drunk driving charge in New Jersey.
Well, but that was that drunk driving was over a year ago, and that wouldn't be something the feds would put on pretrial.
Oh, really?
The feds don't mix and match cases, so there must be an ongoing issue.
Interesting.
You have to be.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, how about this? I don't understand these people, and this does come up with other celebrities, and I'm sure this comes up with other people you've dealt with as your clients, how people don't file taxes. I mean, I have have years where I didn't make much money and I filed taxes. I don't know these people who make millions of dollars and you think if you don't file it, nobody's going to notice, because the other end, they're going to declare it. Remember Richard Hatch, that guy who won the first Survivor?
Of course.
When he didn't declare.
I worked with Richard.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, you did. And at first I was like, maybe he really thought CBS was going to pay the taxes. Maybe he didn't read the fine print. Okay.
Right.
But then it turned out he didn't pay taxes on some rental income that he had. He had a radio job. He didn't pay taxes on that. I don't know how you don't pay tax. You know, you don't file it. You don't pay the taxes. To me, just the not filing is like the big red flag. So if you're going to lie on the form, that's another story. But at least file it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, absolutely. And if you don't file it, don't go on TV and make yourself a number one target for, opulence. So there are a lot of issues here. There's obviously a serious mental health issue with both of them. It looks like there's some domestic abuse. There's just a hot mess. What's really sad is there's four children, and
yes,
how what's going to happen with them. And that's sadly not the problem of the feds, but it's a problem.
It's a big problem. I do feel for those kids, as obnoxious as
I
they
do.
Come off on the show. They didn't ask for this.
They're
going to have to go back to school now and have to deal with all the shame and whatever goes on that they probably already had effects of with the show itself and now all this. And then how long can they – and they're young. They're young kids. I mean, how long can they drag this out before one or both go to prison? I mean, do you think they would do something like I think they did in the Enron case where they let the – there was a husband and wife team that went to prison?
No.
And they
You're talking about Leah Fastow and Andy Fastow.
Yeah.
And
they alternated the prison term.
Right. They all. What happened was Leah and Andy were married. Andy Fastow was an Enron employee. Leah Fastow was charged with some minor things and got 6 months, and they let them stagger their prison time. That is rare, and that is because Andy Fastow testified against the other executives at Enron, and there's no big fish here. There's no Enron here, so no chance of that.
So they would both have to go at the same time, presumably.
Presumably, yeah. Look, if I was working with Teresa, I would certainly be telling her to stop all of the media. But as I understand it, she absolutely refuses to do that, which is why I would absolutely refuse to have another discussion with her. And with Joe, he's already going to do jail time. I mean, he hasn't been convicted, so people can say I'm prejudging on the driver's license issue and the identity theft issue. That's a major deal. But we get to the federal charges. There are so many charges against Joe. He's going to do 10-plus years. Teresa, she can get it down to a couple of years. That's what she has to look at is mitigation.
And the mitigation will be that she didn't know that much and that she's got the kids and all of that, yeah. So I wonder who's going
to
take care of the kids.
And she's going to have to do something called a mea culpa, which she should be familiar with that phrase.
Yes, she's not good at that. She doesn't
she doesn't like that.
That's not one of her favorite things. She likes to blame. She really likes to blame people in general. That's part of her pathology on the show with all her friends and family members. She likes to everybody else is wrong, not me.
Right.
She does say she's sorry eventually, but it's a half-hearted attempt.
Number one thing that I would do if I was on her team is get a psychological evaluation because there is something wrong with her, and she needs to go into some sort of treatment. I am not saying substance abuse treatment because that's not her issue. But there is something wrong with her thinking, and until you correct her thinking, you cannot mitigate her sentence, and you cannot even really work with it. So this federal case is going to take a long time unless you see them plead out quickly, which I don't think because there'd be substantial time, and we'll see what happens. But they don't want to do that.
I think they want to fight it. That's where they're at. At least that's where they're headed
right
now.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think so. They have no choice
so.
Right now but to say they want to fight it because they need to take a posture and a stance.
Right.
But I don't think that they want to. And by the way, the Fed's conviction rate is almost 98%.
It doesn't look good for them. But you think if she gets some kind of evaluation and gets some kind of treatment, I mean, everybody, this is the whole thing, though. People are now, and I hate to say this as someone who has a training in psychotherapy, you know, people are looking at it like Therapy Nation. Everybody wants to use therapy as an excuse, like Wiener and Filner and all these people just saying, well, I'll get some treatment and then I'll be fine, even though they're not fine. So are people going to buy it? I mean, will the courts obviously look at these things? I mean, will they buy the fact that if she gets some kind of diagnosis and she gets some kind of treatment, that will help her?
I don't know if people will buy it, but it will help her deal with what's going on in her life. It's not going to give her less time, but what will give her less time and what the feds like is for you to say, okay, I'm sorry, and move forward. They like what's called a moving forward plan. You've done this, now what are you going to do? And that's where the treatment would help. A treatment, there's no such thing as the abuse excuse anymore. We do not allow that in this country unless it's an extreme domestic violence case, and this is not.
Well, we do allow it in the public square, though, or people try it in the public square. Whether it works in court is another story, because people, as you know, try to
public,
use it.
You can't. Public persona in this case is going to be very different than the facts. Look, the day that Teresa and Joe appeared in court, one thing happened that was very telling. They both were hit with $500,000 bail. bail in federal court in white-collar cases is rare. Usually you're put out on your own recognizance. You don't. You just sign for it. You don't have to put up any money. That tells you the feds are dead serious, and it also tells you that the magistrate who set that bond amount thinks this is a very serious issue. It's very high. Very, very high bond amount.
It's interesting that Teresa didn't have to have anybody sign with her, but apparently Joe had his father sign with him. So that
right.
doesn't, you know, it's interesting
Joe's
that how their
US
money is commingled.
Joe's
oh, that's
not a
why.
Citizen,
okay.
that's why. Mm-hmm.
Is the father
right.
a citizen? The father is?
I don't know if he is or not, but he put up substantial assets, and he also, there are also so many terms on Joe's bond and pretrial that they have that all sewn up. Now, the next thing is they will not be able to afford their lawyers, so what's going to happen? Is Bravo going to give them lawyers?
Ah, wow. Interesting. Well, maybe somebody will come forward and do it because they want the publicity and that kind of thing, which is what sometimes happens in high-profile cases. I don't know.
That happens a lot. I mean, every lawyer that I knew wanted the George Zimmerman case, but those are cases that are winnable. This is not a winnable case. Even Casey Anthony was a very winnable case. They won it. This is not a winnable case. There's going to be a plea deal. No matter what, there'll be a plea agreement.
So you don't think it's going to actually go to trial? You think they will work it out
no.
and have a plea deal and will involve jail time for both? This is your prediction?
That's my prediction. Yeah.
So
it's
what would you tell
very
Teresa?
It's a serious case.
Yeah. It's a big way. It's a big case. It is. And so your advice for Bravo is to drop the show, and your advice to Teresa is to shut her mouth and drop all the media. But she apparently wants to keep going and pretend everything's okay.
I wouldn't tell Bravo drop the show. Drop them from the show. You cannot have people on an ongoing case where it makes you a party to their case. Drop them from the show. And I still, by the way, think Bravo's going to be brought in. I don't see how they won't. They have footage. They'll be subpoenaed as a witness. Bravo's going to be a part of the case. Bravo executives, and I know some of them, knew better than to air that footage. I was shocked. But, you know, media and ratings will make you do things that you may not ordinarily do.
And other cast members may be called to testify, too, I would assume. I know I saw Carolyn Manzo
on. Sure. They're all going to be on the. They're all going to be called.
Being
but
very careful about what she said. You don't think there'll be a trial. Right. So they'll go in and get
I don't see how there can be. You're really going to be playing with fire if you go to a trial in this case. But there's so many years to come in this case. Then plea deals can take years. They can take years.
I was going to ask you, what is your prediction in terms of that? Do you think the kids will be out of college by the time they go to jail?
I have no idea. I can tell you mine took 6 years, and it was a very small case compared to this. So you never know. And in this case, I know they're working on something, but there are so many issues. And, again,
what
you have a husband and a wife.
It's fascinating, and it's a tragedy, too, and, of course, a lot of it they brought on themselves, let's face it. But tell me your personal insights to this. I mean, what was it like for you when you first were faced with these charges, and at what point did you know you're probably going to have to go to prison? Early on, or did you think you could work out a way to
In my case, it was very different. I never was arrested. I was indicted 4 years later. I waived indictment. I went to the feds myself in 2001, and I wound up going to prison in 2007.
In those six years, what was it like with this hanging over your head? Was it horrifying? Did you manage to, like, put it to the back burner? I mean, how did you deal?
Yeah.
I think Piper Kerman had a similar
situation
with her charges. That was where she waited for years and years and years. It just seems like you're waiting
in
limbo.
The worst part is that no matter what client I deal with, it's the waiting, it's the waiting, it's the system, the continuances, it's the delay. Even if you're cooperating, it's the waiting is... The waiting is what destroys your life. And I always say this on every television show I do. Going to prison is easy. Reentry is very difficult. And the waiting is torture.
Look,
you watch Piper Kerman's show, Orange is the New Black. Anybody can go and do that. It's the waiting around, and it's how am I going to come back afterwards. That's what really messes up people. The time away is time away.
And you had a family, so you had to be away from your kids, which was also a hard thing, I'm sure.
I write about that in my blog over the weekend. That is something you never get over. It is something you must work the rest of your life to repair. And unless you own that, which you have to, my clients, that's, we work on that from day one with clients, is how are you going to own this and move forward? I don't care who did what. Somebody did something. In this case, with the case we're talking about, with the Giudici's, somebody did something. And whatever it was enough to now be causing a loss of freedom. And that in itself is something that is very difficult to come to grips with. It's America, right? You're not supposed to lose your freedom. But they made those choices.
They made those choices. And that's why people like you, I think, Wendy, because you're very honest and you're real about it. You're like, listen, this is it. You're talking tough. And they don't want to deal with somebody like you maybe at this point because they don't want to face that tough reality. But they're going to have to face it.
You have to face it, and it's the age of social media. Look, they've used social media to get famous, so they're going to have to face it, and they're going to have to say, I made bad choices. You don't have to go into what choices were right and what choices were made up, and that gets you into a tit-for-tat war that you cannot win either, because you don't have the power. In a case like this, the government has all the power, and that's something else they would need to learn. So you have two people here who would be terrible clients because they would never listen, and they're in a load of trouble, a load of trouble.
And sometimes, like you said, you just have to surrender to it, and there's no point in playing the blame game anymore. You have to just face reality. This is the situation you put yourself in. You're in it. Deal with it. And find a way forward. Not always easy, though, and certainly hard to do with the spotlight on you, but they did ask for that spotlight, so it's hard not to watch them and see them. But I do feel for certainly for the kids, and I do feel for them, too, because they're human beings, and they're not Ariel Castro. They are people, and they made some bad choices.
They are people, and that's why if they would just simply figure out what am I going to, you know, what did I do and what have I done, and take a quiet period. This is why it hasn't worked with Miss Lohan in life. There's no quiet period. Gets out of rehab and does Oprah right away. There needs to be a period where you have to really, really look at your life and say, what the hell happened? And then you can make a comeback.
That's part of our culture, too, is this instant comeback. You know, if you go back, this pendulum has swung way too far. Back in the old days, I mean, I think about the quiz show scandal. You remember that movie? It was about the quiz shows in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
With, you know, Charles Van Doren, whose life was pretty much ruined because he took some questions in advance or the answers in advance. And I think that was an extreme thing. He went out, and of course he rebuilt his life, but a quiet life, never to be heard from again. But he lost his jobs, everything. Now people want instant, instant reclaiming of the way things were. They want to come back and do a talk show the day after. I mean, look at Paula Deen. With her apology tour.
Look at Paula Deen, and look at that ridiculous statement she made on the Today Show. That wasn't very good coaching. That made her look worse. There's one thing you need to learn how to do, and that is shut up. And that's the hardest thing for people. But that's what you have to learn to do, and people who are successful at coming back know that there's a period where you need to just learn to shut up and look in the mirror and think, okay, what do I do now? And how am I going to fix this? And you know what? Teresa would be a very sympathetic character because she's a woman with children. She could spin it around in a moment. But that's why.
You see, she needs you, Wendy. I know you say you're not going to work with her, but I think she needs you. I think you got to reach out to her.
But I think she needs to do some work first. And as I said, I do know Teresa from a long time ago. I'm close friends with a couple other people who are on Real Housewife shows. And there's an interesting dynamic with people who do those shows. Very, very interesting. There's a narcissistic component that unless you get a hold of, it will destroy you. And they better get a hold of
now. I hope she reaches out to you. Wendy Feldman, a pleasure talking with you as always. I appreciate your insights and your real deal attitude, and I know a lot of people do too. So thanks for joining us, Wendy. I'm going to try to make
thanks
that match for you and Teresa again. Okay.
All right.
Take care. Thank
Talk
you.
Soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. It is the Andy the Third Way Show. Give us a call at 347-857-4505. It's the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo. Join us.
Can't have two. Stop the chain.
Friday, had a great interview with Joan Steinau Lester, the author of Mama's Child, but after I was talking about my procrastination bit, the music was drowning me out, which maybe that's a better thing for some people. I don't know. We do what we can. Hey, Friday, I want to tell you, we've got an interesting woman coming on, Sylvia Schultz. She is the author of a book called Fractured Spirits. It goes in the secrets and the ghost stories of the Peoria State Asylum. Interesting stuff. She's a real, I think, bona fide ghostbuster. She does stuff. She does a paranormal investigator. So we're going to talk with her. That's coming up on Friday, by the way. And if you have a story to tell, we are looking. We're booking for the fall. That's what they tell me in TCS. They're cracking the whip. September and October, we're already booking up. So go to the website, amybetharkowee.com. Click on the contact icon, authors, filmmakers, theater folks, musicians, etc. You've got a story to tell. We want to talk to you. Talking about the TVs, they can hack into your TV and they can actually find out stuff about you. That is scary. I have an old-fashioned, one of those old big fat TVs, so I don't think they can do that for that. See, when you have obsolete technology, they can't get you. That's the key. Be obsolete, then they can't find you. I just came up with something. Once in a while, I come up with something. Hey, Mama Mama may join us, too, for the other side of Jersey. I have to say, I'm watching this show. I said I wasn't going to watch these darn shows anymore. But they're like train wrecks. You're just rubbernecking. It's reality rubbernecking. That's all I can say. I got sucked back into the show this season, and of course with the indictments coming down, and we were going to have Wendy on, I said I got to watch it last night. So the big thing is she exploded at Jacqueline, Teresa. So we'll see what happens. She called Jacqueline evil. And on the after show, I wanted to see Caroline Manzo was on, and of course she has the party line down. Did the right thing. I give her props. So I'm not casting aspersions on this. I knew she was going to pretty much say, I can't really go into it. It's hard to wrap my head around it. I did text her, and she texted me back, but I'm not going to say what we said. So, listen, I respect it. I think, as Wendy said, Bravo's under the gun a bit too, because they may be involved in this. Now, I don't think they're going to get charged with a crime, but they probably will be called to as a witness, and they're going to try to run the clock out on this as much as they can. I just think the whole idea of living your life in limbo with this these charges hanging over your head, with this possible prison sentence, it's daunting. It's got to be a daunting way to go. I mean, I do remember Piper Kerman's book. I haven't seen the show yet, which I guess is loosely based on the memoir, but the memoir itself, I mean, just the fact that she was committed this drug offense, minor drug offense, a relatively minor drug offense, at a young age, in her 20s, and was caught up in it, left it voluntarily, had nothing, it just came back to bite her, big time, 5 or 6 years later, and then it was another 5 or 6 years that went until she finally went to prison because of all the machinations with that case, where she was involved in a big drug sting. I guess it was a big group of people that she was a minor player in, and they had to wait for the drug kingpin or queenpin to get caught. So not fun to have to wait around for the sentence to come down like a Damocles sword over your head. Just not a good thing. And I don't really wish it on anybody, and even though Teresa and Joe are like sideshow buffoons and they're easy targets to kind of make fun of, you got to have a heart as a person and say they did make these choices. They caused their own problems, but they are people. And they have kids, and I particularly feel for those kids, even though they come off as obnoxious in the show, too. What's your take? 347-857-4505 is the number to get you into the mix. A good show, a good song for a fucking fan. horrible coffee chick. Speaking of people who know a thing or two about lawyers, Lindsay Lohan back in the news. I think Wendy Feldman mentioned this. She's back, just out of rehab for a couple of days, and she's going on Chelsea Lately tonight. Already, I guess, taped a show with Oprah. This girl doesn't know about really self-reflection, and you know, this is a tragedy because she is a very talented young woman, a very talented actress. As a young girl, certainly has appeared in many movies. I don't know if you saw the movie Bobby, which was Emilio Estevez's beautiful movie about the assassination of Bobby Kennedy and how it affected different lives or people were impacted around that same period of time. And she was one of the stars of that movie, and she does a phenomenal job. I mean, she really is a person who has a lot of talent and kind of, you know, blowing it all away because of her mental illness and or addictions or both. We're not really sure what is going on with her, except I know she has bad parenting. I think one of the headlines that I just read today in one of the tabloids was that she now is so into rehab that she's hiring a sober coach for herself or a sober companion. I'm not sure if those things work out all that well, but sometimes they do, I guess. But she also wants her mother, Dina, who has her own issues, to also get off the booze. So, you know, listen, as a family, I hope they can repair and they can heal and therapy can come and be useful. But the problem is you have to give it time to work. It's like Anthony Weiner. He needs to go away. You need therapy, clearly. You have issues. You have issues with your wife. You have issues with yourself that you really have to deal with. Allegedly, he dealt with them, but it didn't work. It didn't take. No shame there, but certainly a shame to parade it around in front of the world and try to run for a very important office, to be mayor of arguably the most important city in the world and certainly this country. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know about you. 347-857-4505. A few minutes left here on the Monday Coffee Clatch edition. Again, we thank Wendy Feldman for stopping by, the noted prison coach, who you can find her at Twitter, at the Wendy Feldman, if you want to get in touch with her and her blog, and also, you know, WendyFeldman.com. And she will get you in if you need help, because unfortunately a lot of people are facing this. And I do believe, and we started the springboard, this conversation as a tabloid talk because of Teresa and Joe from Real Housewives of New Jersey, but there are a lot of people who are incarcerated for a very long time, mostly the drug crimes, that don't need to be there. They do need rehab. They do need therapy. It does need to be addressed. And it's funny how there are some Republicans now getting on board with getting away with the mandatory minimums in certain states because of the cost. I don't care. However you get on board, for whatever reason, it's a good idea to get on board with that. I know, and I've written about this, and people who've read News Junkie Post and have followed me around in various media outlets, you know my stance on this. I am a pretty liberal person, and people throw these cyber tomatoes at me. I get it. But I'm on law and order side when it comes to certain things. And people who are violent offenders, people like the Ariel Castros of the world, do need to be locked up, and we do need to toss away the key. Those people are atrocious. Those people need to, I'm not saying you shouldn't show them some compassion when they're behind bars. I'm not into torture or anything like that, but they do need to be locked away. That's just a fact. I mean, Jodi Arias needs to be locked away. I'm not for the death penalty, so I'm not saying she should be executed. She needs to be locked away. I'm also not saying she should be locked in a box for her entire life, which is what happens in Arizona's death row and other death rows, the solitary confinement. You know, there should be some compassion. You have to measure mercy with the justice that you're meting out. But some people just need to be locked away. They need to forfeit their lives. That's it. I know there are people like John Waters who try to get petitions going to get Leslie Van Houten, one of the Manson women, released from prison. She's been in prison for 40-something years, whatever it is now. No, I really think, unfortunately, and she may have been less culpable than Jodi Arias because she was under the influence of both drugs and Charles Manson, and she was only 19, but the crimes that she committed were so heinous that sometimes you do forfeit your right to live amongst us. But she is in prison, and she doesn't live in solitary confinement, I don't believe. I think she's gone to school there, and she's involved in the community there, and prisons can be a community, too. If you read the Piper Kerman book, if you watch the show, you talk to Wendy Feldman, people who've been there, strong bonds are sometimes formed. And I think people are entitled to those. I mean, we all have human needs. So I don't necessarily believe I definitely don't believe in torture. I don't believe in solitary confinement unless somebody is so out of control, and then they still need to be dealt with in as humane a way as possible, and there needs to be psychiatric treatment. I believe in all of those components should be there for people. But there are some people that need to be locked away from society. White-collar criminals, drug criminals, for the most part, don't need to be locked away for lengthy periods of time. You know, that's my point. But when you bring things on yourself, you do have to own up to it, and that's the whole issue with Teresa and Joe. They're still in deep-dish denial. I think they need Wendy Feldman's help, so maybe she'll come, you know, they'll have their come-to-Jesus moment, as they say, and realize they need it. They need this help. I mean, you can only fight the law so long, and then it finally catches up with you, as they say, especially if you're a flagrant disregard in front of the world. Bobby Fuller four song, I Fought the Law. It's the Amy Beth Barkley Show, 347-857-4505 gets you in the mix. Hi there, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, hi there. I had a little technical difficulty, so I really didn't hear Wendy. I really wanted to hear her. I'll have to listen in a little later. But I just wanted to say that
listen to every show. You can listen to every show on demand if you go to the Blog Talk site, follow the Amy Beth Barkley Show. Just giving a plug.
Yes, I realize that that's what I'm going to do, but I just wanted to say that I think that Teresa and Joe really should have thought of their children. I think it's a disgusting situation that they've placed those poor children into. You know, they have nothing to do with all of that, and they certainly had to know. If they have so many charges, they really had to know what they were doing. I mean, that's ridiculous. They can't say that they didn't know.
Yeah, it would seem. I mean, again, it always comes down to what the feds can prove, but I think as Wendy pointed out, they have a 98% conviction rate, and they're serious charges.
They're very serious charges. And
they're not fooling
around.
She thinks there are even going to be more charges pending, so we'll see with them. They're really trying to throw the book at them, and, you know, when you say trying to throw the book at them, you have to say, I know they're trying to pretend or deflect the blame by saying they're targeted because they're famous, but they courted this fame, number one, and they were flagrant about their disregard for the law, number two. And they kind
well,
of
they did a lot of it before they were famous, before they were known for, you know, the housewives, et cetera. But the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, they can claim all they want, but they certainly must have the goods on them at this point in time.
It sounds like they do. And I don't even understand. Part of it that I don't get is these people, and they're not the only ones. There are people like Wesley Snipes, Lauren Hale, who actually is going to go to jail for 6 months. In her case,
Wesley Snipes is in jail. He's in jail.
Well, he got out. He got out, but he wasn't.
Oh, he got out, but he went to jail for
it. Yeah, because he didn't even fight. What I don't get is, if you're making millions of dollars as a movie star or a performer or anybody who makes that kind of money, you can't not file your taxes. That is like a red flag.
Right.
Because the people on the other end who are paying you are going to file So it's not just, you know, taking phony deductions, which some people do, or, you know, things that people do, which I'm not saying is right or wrong, but I can understand how you think you might get away with that. But how do you get away with not filing? It doesn't make sense. I guess because they don't come and get you that minute, but they can do it up to 6-7 years. I'm always afraid I'm going to get audited. I save all the tax returns from forever, you know. It's like,
oh, it is. I don't know. I guess they don't even think about it, as long as she can walk around with the, you know, designer handbags and designer clothes, and that the children, which is absurd, can go in and spend thousands of dollars in a store. I mean, which is unnecessary.
Conspicuous consumption. Yeah, that's what those shows are about. And
right.
Unfortunate. And bad behavior, and they get paid for that. And
yeah.
Then they got paid a lot of money for it, and then they tried to hide the money and pretend they lost all the money. With the bankruptcy fraud comes into play, and that's just...
It's really pitiful. I don't know if they even realize that they, you know, that they really need help. And he's not even a citizen. So he could
he's
be deported afterwards.
He could be, although I would say that's far-fetched, because... he's been here for so long. And
yeah.
The thing is, some people were saying online that if he gets deported or he's going to get out of it, he'll just have to go back to Italy. But that's not how it works. He would go to prison first and then get deported.
Right.
So,
right. He has to. No, he would have to serve
time. I suspect
they
won't deport him. But Wendy predicts that he's going to go to jail for a very long time, and Teresa maybe just a few years. But it looks like he's looking at serious prison time. But they will drag it out because these cases can take a long time to negotiate, and I'm wondering if they'll try to drag it out as long as they can. Maybe the kids will be out of college by the time they go to prison. I don't know.
It's a terrible thing. It's not worth the stardom, as they say, the 15 minutes of fame. But
yeah, well,
I just wanted to call in. I'm sorry I missed it, but I will listen to it on demand.
I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your listening. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, we're going to wrap it up, I guess, in a couple of minutes. So don't forget, you can follow the show. It's the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show at the Blog Talk site. You can find me on Twitter at AB Writes. And, of course, hop over to the website, amybetharkowitz.com. As I said, we're booking for the fall, so if you have a story to tell, we want to hear it. And we're looking for loquacious free thinkers who like to dish the dirt, TV, movies, hot topics in the news as well. Friday, Sylvia Schultz will be here. She is the author of Fractured Spirits. It's behind the scenes at the Peoria State Asylum. So an actual Ghostbuster, I believe she is. I'm going to look into her background a little bit more about it. Paranormal investigator. It's going to be a fascinating show, I think. Join us, and join us anytime online, of course. Hey, whatever you do, wherever you go, please do drive safe, play nice, dream big. We'll talk Friday. Thank you so much to Trudy and Aurora in the booth. We've got our music under control. ML headquarters from the TCS crew. Have a great day.
Satellite radio. I guess you seem a bit nervous. Do you think I'm that stupid?